I believe it was 1970. I was going to school at Abilene Christian. And some of my friends mentioned that a professor from Abilene Christian, Neil Lightfoot, was going to hold a lecture in Moody Auditorium. And they assured me that if you go, you will thoroughly enjoy it. Well, my extracurricular when I was young at Abilene Christian was ping pong. So I had to decide whether to go play ping pong or go to this lecture. Fortunately, I chose the lecture. I sat there in awe as this learned professor who I had never taken classes under before, but I did after, told us in great simplicity and yet great detail how the Bible was codexed and brought together and preserved and brought down to our generation, how we got the Bible. And I remember, I don't remember the time frame, but I remember I even purchased his little book, little thin, probably 120-page book that I had in my library until I gave my library to Southwest School of Preaching. I had that book all during that time, and I actually am not a reader, but I would read that book from time to time. You could read it in a morning, and I was just in awe of all the things that Brother Lightfoot had to say. And I even remember some of the things in the book. I had to look them up to make sure my quotations were exact. And they might not be exactly exact, but he said something like this: the Bible didn't just happen. He said the Bible has been preserved not by mere chance, but by God. And what I do remember verbatim is when he said, the Bible is a marvel in and of itself. Now here I was, a young whippersnapper far away from home, intrigued by this man, in awe of what he had to say. But you know what? All these many years later, I'm just as much in awe of the Bible now as I was then. It is a marvel. It is not just chance that brought us to it. God is in control. I heard a man one time, and he was not saying this in a derogatory way, but he said, we were lucky that the Bible made it to our society and our generation. There was no luck involved at all. God wants us to go to heaven. God gave us a roadmap to heaven. It's called the Bible. God is going to make sure we have the Bible in order to get to heaven. And though the skeptics have moaned and groaned, go read the history of skepticism about the Bible. Regardless of what they said, the Bible still remains. And though the modernists, even today, Kyle mentioned a few of that, though they moan and groan and complain about the Bible is just as relevant as it has ever been. And though the atheists and the skeptics and the agnostics and the evolutionists attack the Bible, and though their attacks are very successful, they will never destroy God's word. Now listen to what I said. It is successful, but it will never destroy God's word. That responsibility rests with us. The one thing I was most impressed with Kyle's lesson was the fact that we have a responsibility concerning this. I think the easy thing about evolution / creation would be for us to say, well, I just don't know. I didn't study that when I was young, and I just don't have a response. And he did say, it's nothing wrong to say, I don't know. But brethren, we need to know. Because though my children are grown and gone, my grandchildren are not. And I hope live long enough to see great-grandchildren someday. I have a responsibility. Maybe not to refute or defeat evolution, but to make sure that the Bible is still available to my generation, your generation, and generations to come. He quoted today, and I already had it in my notes, "The fool says in his heart there is no God." But we are foolish if we don't realize the responsibility that we have to protect the Bible ourselves. My lesson tonight I've divided into three sections. I really believe each section would stand on its own, but when we combine all three of these sections, we'll get to the real emphasis of what I want tonight. Our text is a very familiar 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 14. We're not nearly as familiar with 14 and 15 as we are 16 and 17, but you'll recognize this when we get into it. Now, remember who wrote 2 Timothy? Paul. Who did he write it to? Timothy. What was Timothy's background? He had been taught from his youth the Holy Scripture. By who? His mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. That's what Paul is talking about. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned," learned from his mother and grandmother, "and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." He learned them from his family. "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And here's the section we're very familiar with. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable to our profit for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness." So that you and I, as Christians who rely on God's word for our salvation, that's the roadmap that will get us to heaven, we might be, King James says, perfect. What it means is completely or thoroughly furnished unto all or every good work. In other words, what Paul is saying is the Bible is inspired. The Bible came to us through God. God even attests to that fact. Just as Jesus is God's only begotten Son, the Bible is God's only inspired Scripture. And just as they said concerning Jesus, "No man ever spake as this man spake." No teaching known by man, no teaching written by man even begins to touch the skirt of the Holy Bible. And remember this also. When Jesus was about to go back to heaven, his ministry was almost over. He's already preparing his disciples for his departure. He made them a promise. Well, he made several promises, but in Matthew 16, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, and he would, do you remember, guide them into all truth. When did the Holy Spirit come and guide the apostles into all truth? He was talking about Pentecost. That's when the Spirit fell on them. They began to speak in unlearned languages. The promise was made in John 16. The promise was found in Acts chapter 2. The promise was the Word of God. Now, Paul, I suppose, wrote more about that because he didn't concentrate necessarily on the life of Christ as did Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul wrote most about this because it was more pertinent for him preaching in the Gentile community than it would have been for the other apostles or other inspired writers preaching in the Jewish community. He said that God's word is to our profit. It was to our profit for doctrine. What is the doctrine? It's the teaching of God. So it's to our profit to know the teaching of God. It's good, it's profitable for reproof, being able to prove those things are so. That's what Kyle did very clearly. He proved that we don't have to run away from dinosaurs anymore. We can prove them even with the Scripture. Paul also says it's for correction. If I make a mistake, or you make a mistake, or the brotherhood makes a mistake, we use the Bible to bring us back to center. And he finally says it's for instruction in righteousness. Why? Because it's inspired. It comes from God. The word inspired literally means breathed out. God breathed out this truth through the Holy Spirit. These inspired penmen heard that truth being breathed out from God, and they wrote down that truth so that it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and so forth. Therefore, when we talk about the Bible, and don't you love to talk about the Bible? When we talk about the Bible, we're talking about the actual thought process and mind of God. You know, no man has ever seen God. We won't see God till we get to heaven. But we know the mind of God. We know the thinking process, the thought process of God, and that we find in the Bible. And also remember, when Jesus was here, he acknowledged from the very get-go, this is not my teaching, this teaching is from God. One of my favorite passages is the first few verses of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews, you remember, if Paul is the penman God used, Paul was telling the Jewish Christians not to abandon Christianity, even though they were being persecuted. Don't abandon Christianity, come back to Judaism, even if you're going to escape persecution. He was saying that Christ is superior to Moses. The law of Christ is superior to the law of Moses. And heaven is certainly superior to Canaan. And so he says God used to speak in various ways to his people through dreams and visions, even through animals. He would send angels. But from that point forward, God spoke to us only through his son. Only through his son. There are some religions that believe there's a body of truth that's, and I'm not really trying to be silly, but there's a body of truth out here that's just kind of floating around, and every once in a while, man will be able to mentally reach up and grab some of that truth and then apply it to his Christian life. You know, not all truth has been revealed to man. That's contrary to the teaching of God. Jude talks about defending the truth, the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints. So we don't need to reapply or reword or rethink or reanalyze God's word. We just need to accept God's word. Paul says when he received the truth, he didn't receive it from man. He received it from God. And another passage we're so familiar with, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. First of all, let me say the King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's really my favorite way to use the verse. But the American Standard, which is another very, very reputable translation, says, give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And actually, I got the King James version in that last part. Now, Kyle said earlier, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. And as a young preacher, one of the first things I found out was, if I don't know, don't try to make up an answer. Just say, I don't know. Well, I don't know how God was involved in the inspiring of the Bible. I don't know. I know he was. I don't know how. There are some that say God gave word for word description of the Bible and the writers wrote it down word for word. Maybe so. Others think that God just gave them that information, made sure when they wrote it using their own vocabulary, using their own personal history, that it was complete and perfect. I don't know, but I know that God gave them the truth. I know that they understood the truth, and I know that they wrote down the truth. Now, admittedly, some of the older translations, and I use a very old translation, sometimes the wording is lost in English from the way it was written in, for instance, 1611. So maybe there needs to be from time to time an explanation, maybe even an updating of wording, but never an updating of doctrine. It says the same thing now that God wanted to be said then. It applies to us now just as God wanted it to apply then. And it's binding upon us now just as it was binding upon him, upon man then. So I don't know everything about it, but I know God was in control. I know that God wants us to be saved. And I know that his information is given in the Bible, so he's going to give us the Bible to get us there. And finally, and Kyle touched on this also. If you took a science book from 50 years ago or 100 years ago, you took a science book from 100 years ago, you would find out that a lot of the things that scientists believed were true back then, they don't believe is true anymore. I know in medical circles, they used to believe if you had a fever, they would either cut you and let you bleed to get that fever out, or they would put leeches on you to get that fever out. Doctors would say that's the worst thing you can do is to bleed the blood out. They thought it was true then. They know it's not true now. Go back further than that. Science and religion believed the earth was flat. Had they just read the Bible, man sits upon the circle of the earth. And yet science believes they can outthink us. Science believes they can outthink God, but it simply cannot be done. It's just as accurate today as it was then. It's just as binding today as it was then. And it's just as beautiful and assuring today as it was then. That's why Peter said the word of the Lord lives and abides forever. He said it endures forever. And always let us remember, Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. Now, it's very interesting to know the thoughts of the world, but it's essential to know the thoughts of God. Let's concentrate on his thoughts. I did not mention first principles tonight. I think, though, everyone who is here realizes individual responsibility to God. So if tonight there is anyone who needs to respond to our Lord, if you'll just come up here and stand or sit, I'll get to you in a moment. We'll sing all three verses, 878. Won't you come as we stand and sing?